Winner all of life.
Welcome to
Kate
and Ho Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist hoe living in New York City.
Me, Rob, one pansexual, agender feminist with a fatty.
Me, Rebecca, one fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
And Akua, one black... Damn. Call.
One black comma damn.
Everyone looks forward to Akua just going, I don't know who I am today.
It's literally my problem. So me, Akua, one hoe that specializes in all things mental health and all things carefree.
Mm-hmm. There you That's go. Still good, Akua. We still love you. As I mentioned before, my name is Sam. I'm the principal host of this show. That means that week in and week out, I am here with one of three rotating co-hosts that you heard just now. And then on special occasions, we come together for a joint episode. We have pre-recorded this episode. This will be the mailbag episode that you guys have been requesting forever. We're going to answer your fucking questions.
And if you would like to follow along with this conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag #InnerHoeUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag #PodIn so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. And a quick reminder to support us monetarily by going to innerhouprising.com to pay a bitch. You can click the tab pay a bitch. You can also go directly to paypal.me/innerho or buy merchandise from our website or use the sponsor codes used in this and previous episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you support us. You can also review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or tell a friend. Let's get into the letters.
Can I read this one? Because I love yes, this one.
You can
when
read
I
this
write
one.
It.
Yes.
So the subject is Fire Bed Fuckboy. My first letter to my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, hoes. Love, love, love your podcast. I discovered it earlier this year after seeing an article about the best podcast for black people by black people.
Yay.
Thank you to whoever wrote that.
Yeah.
Sam and her slutty band of misfits have truly inspired
That's
me.
That's what y'all are.
Great.
Didn't know.
Who have truly inspired me in so many ways. As a black... I'm sorry. The fuck am I doing? As a black, bisexual, poly, blurred female, this podcast is what I was missing in my life. I have listened to you give great advice in previous podcasts, and now I need your help.
Okay.
Cool. 5 months ago, I started dating this guy I knew from elementary, middle, and high school.
Damn.
Right away. Oh, no, like. Right away, I could tell it would be a casual thing. He has a big dick. He loves weed, Game of Thrones, and he makes me laugh. Everything you ever need in a nigga.
Every Brooklyn nigga I've ever met in my life. Go ahead.
Other than that, sadly, we are vastly different in terms of morals, upbringing, and intellect.
I'd be like that too sometimes.
I started seeing him towards the end of my previous relationship, which was poly, so I never considered him to be my romantic partner, just a sexual one. However, after my breakup with my boyfriend, he really took initiative and wanted us to be serious. I didn't want to lose the relationship because I had just gone through a very emotional breakup with someone I loved for almost 2 years. So I went along with his desire for us to be a couple because, frankly, I hate sleeping alone and he does make me happy.
Live your truth, girl.
I am no way a perfect person, and I have certainly made mistakes I wish I could erase. With that said, I do think I have certain privileges as a young, smart, and attractive female with a strong mother who taught me to take care of myself and to always ask for help when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
He was not taught this. He insists on doing everything himself, and I think his white male ego has something to do with it. He was working two jobs from 8 a.m. to midnight every day. He got maybe 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night because he has insomnia. Recently, he lost one of these jobs for bad performance, a.k.a. being high.
Mm.
His roommate moved out with only a 30-day notice for forcing him to back to his parents' house. And his car broke down twice in 1 month.
Mm.
That is the hardships.
Yeah.
He only eats fast food, and the only water I ever see him drink is an IPAs.
This nigga's a fucking mess, but honestly, all you niggas are messes because I've definitely dated people like this.
Continuing, I get that our 20s are times to be young, dumb, and broke. I'm broke as fuck. And it's also the time to figure out who you were, who you are, and who you're going to be. He seems so caught up in his mistakes that he doesn't seem to realize that no one is successful on their own.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a pretty talented woodworker, which is such a rare skill to know in 2017. He can make guitars, furniture, and so much else. furniture, I'm sorry. He can make guitars, furniture, and so much else. But because he doesn't have his own business, like his friend, he thinks he's failed. He's only 25. The most recent thing to occur was me waking up at 5 a.m. in his bed on fire.
What, bitch?
He was smoking. He was smoking.
No preparation for no. that.
He was smoking weed out of a shitty homemade pipe and fell asleep. His bedding caught fire, and he luckily woke up before it got too bad. I am a deep sleeper, so I know for a fact I would have burned alive in that bed. He's pretty sure his parents will kick him out because there are kids in his parents' house and they could have been hurt. I told him to just see what happens, but I don't think it will turn out well for him. I just don't know if ending a relationship with someone because their life is falling apart is a good reason. I wonder if I should give it a few weeks to settle and see if he takes this as a lesson or just cut my losses and focus on myself. Essentially, my favorite fuckboy has turned into the worst boyfriend, and I need your help. Signed, Dirty Kisses.
Thank you.
First of all, leaving somebody for reasons that
whatever your reason is valid to you is the reason exactly. that's valid to you, and you should just do it, because never, otherwise you're not going to want to be in it, so you're just going to like delay it.
Never stay with someone for someone else's supposed benefit. That's my big thing, because you're not helping them. I've been in situations where I'm like, but how would they feel? And that I'm, but how do you feel? Like if you feel like your energy is being sucked, then don't do that. But as far as him personally, I feel like everybody in their 20s feels like they're a failure sometimes, because it's just like...
are failures.
We are, compared to our parents anyway, because they all had houses at 25.
Yes.
But I feel like him smoking weed and all that type of stuff, you can be productive and smoke weed at the same time.
No, so, yeah, he's just not a productive
exactly.
person.
Exactly. So that... I noticed that weed was mentioned a lot, and I understand that that could be something. Maybe he's the type of person after he smokes, he's just couch locked or whatever.
Yeah.
But if he's losing his job and he's just like not actually being a productive member of society because of weed, and that may be something he needs to look at. But at the same time, this nigga's a fucking woodworker, so that's kind of incredible. I don't know anybody who can make guitars and furniture and shit.
Me neither.
So I think, but I think that all of these things are burdens that you're carrying, and that he needs to realize on his own, like what his worth is, what his value is, and create opportunities for himself.
He sounds depressed.
Yeah, it sounds like he has something that he's going through and he needs to work through. But at the same time, you mentioned that you are the type of person who grew up with somebody always supporting you, behind you, and telling you to be an independent person. Not all of us are fortunate to have that. So the fact that you're saying that he's the type of person to do things independently, I'm also that type of person. I'm the type of person where I feel like a burden when I ask people for help.
Yeah.
I feel, and that's just something that I grew up with, and that's not something that's my fault. I just was never really, my hand was never really held through anything. It was just like, you're going to do this, and that's what it is. And any opportunity that I've created for myself. But at the same time, that was something that eventually I had to learn, that it's okay to ask people who look out for my best interests and for people who like actually care about me.
Who is hungry?
To look at them and say, you know, I do need help, but that takes a lot. That's not something you can force on someone. That's not something that you can even like cultivate in their brain. Like, they have to go through growing up on their own, you know? So don't stay in a relationship for him because you feel like, damn, his life sucks.
You're not going to change
that. Exactly.
Like, I would say, like, before you do break up with him, and this was written quite some time ago, so that may have already happened. I'm sorry, being shit, but people who are in similar situations, because this is kind of a common 20 situation, like when you are breaking up with him, like, let him know exactly why and be like, oh, I'm not trying to kick you when you're down, but you have like a lot of shit to fucking figure out, and I am also going through shit and I cannot figure it out with you, but I wish you the best.
Does actually literally say exactly that.
Yeah. Like, and then quote me at the end. Sam said this, BT Dubs.
Hey, I've been listening to a podcast
I have to break up with you now. Because Rodeca is so right that you have to think about yourself. The man set you on fire, sis.
He is not thinking about you.
Like,
he set you on fire. It's true.
That is so detrimental, literally, for your well-being.
Yeah.
That you have to think about you. And I get the inclination of not, you know, wanting to kick someone when they're down or being the icing on the cake for them. But like Sam said, clearly stating, you know, the reasons why you think this is no longer beneficial for you or for him, and what he should work on, or what you feel that he should work on in this time of being alone, would be I'm at a loss for words, my brain don't work, but would be, you know, beneficial, what you should do for him. I have to counter what Sam said in that he sounds depressed, because nothing you wrote here as a mental health counselor links depression, but it does it does highlight some things that he could take to counseling, and maybe with some more probing, you know, he could be depressed, he could not be. But it also sounds like what Rodecca is saying, that he's going through a lot of things that a lot of people in their 20s are going through. I connected with a lot of things that, you know, he's going through, feeling like he's a failure, working two jobs, not getting enough sleep, you know, having to go back to your parents' house, you know, all these things we can kind of understand, because it's just the climate now. It's the economic situation that's been left for us as millennials, and it is what it is. But yeah, you have to think about you. Like, you have to think about you. You can't wait. If you wait a couple weeks, his life is not going to turn around in a couple of weeks. So you're going to wait a couple more weeks? No. So if you haven't, you know, think about you. Make that decision for you. And if you have, good luck. Let us know. Update us. And we'll read that too. one day. Rob, my nigga, you got words?
You got something? So I was in a situation like this for 2 years. Ooh. Where I was worse in the aspect of I took care of a nigga. Mm-hmm. And it was killing me, because he was, I wouldn't necessarily say it was as much less fortunate. He's just an unlucky nigga. And he worked his ass off, but he had health issues as well as mental health issues. And I felt like, since I was the person who was better off, it was like my job to take care of a nigga. But at the end of the day, I realized it's not, because if the tables were turned, niggas will, not niggas in general, just men, but people will leave you.
Yeah.
Like, if your life is becoming a burden to somebody else, they will leave you. If you're a compassionate person, maybe not so much, but it's, after a while, it was like, damn, I am still doing great, but I'm also stressed the fuck out, because I could be doing better, but I have to take care of this person and constantly hold this person's hand and shit. And I mean, a lot of what's going on in his life sounds like shit that he can control. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like there's anything out of his control. Like, it sounds like he's giving into his own masculinity a lot as well. Like, oh, my, look at what all my friends are doing. I'm not doing this, so obviously I ain't shit. It's like, clearly, duh, it's not the case, because everybody moves at different paces. We're not all the same fucking height. But it's like, it's not your job. You ain't got no kids, or you might, but that's not one of them. So it's not your responsibility to help mold this person so that he gets there, he doesn't. And if you're there providing some kind of like construction, like, hey, this is how you might want to do this, and they're not taking your advice, then there's literally no point. Ain't no dick that good to be getting lit on fire, unless you into that shit. But you gotta be safe with your BDSM. You're, but
with your kink play,
for real. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that is clearly a sign of negligence. And do you really want to be with somebody who's negligent enough to use a homemade fucking pipe? These shits are like $5. You can get them from any
store.
Maybe
he woodwork the pipe.
I thought about that, but that is the dumbest thing ever.
No, you cannot woodwork. It's wood.
Can't you like put something over it to make it
You'd have to do like a non-flammable maybe, it'd still gloss be, it's, and all that type of stuff.
It would not be smart, because it's still wood.
I was gonna say
it's Sam, like
it didn't, because the bed
caught fire. Don't be trying to justify this nigga.
No, but I don't think it's because the pipe that
made the pipe that made the bed light on fire.
But either way, it's like,
stop killing this nigga's dreams. You fucking
asshole.
That
was good ass weed.
To just
knock you out. Like,
there's ways to smoke and smoke safely. Like, and if you got kids in the house, the fact that you smoking in the crib and da da da. It's just so many different aspects of this. Like, do you really see yourself being with this person for the rest of your life? And if you don't, what's the point of even entertaining a full-blown, what seems to be monogamous relationship with this person? It's like, you may just be wasting your time. It doesn't seem like it's that much fun anymore. You get along great, but also you kind of almost died.
Yeah.
So I really hope, you know, and you might reply back to us like, I know y'all niggas is like 2 years late and shit.
I figured this out in 2014.
I want to know what happened because time has passed. So what did happen?
Next mailbag episode.
Let us know.
Let's go into the next story.
All right. Okay, so I'm relatively... Oh, this is another one. It's no subject. But okay, yes. So I'm relatively new to your podcast, and I've started all the way back at the beginning to catch up on it all.
And then she writes about how much she likes us, and
we appreciate
good.
You.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have been in a bit of a situation with a guy I work with. We have been fucking for a year and a half, a year, and it started off casual, but soon turned into us kind of agreeing that if we slept with anyone else, it was important that we let each other know. And then we never slept with anyone else except for each other after that. It turned into consistent flirting, sharing things about our lives and family on a deeper level. Me staying the night at his place a bit and basically getting to a whole new level of trust. I started to develop feelings after a while and suspected he did too, but no one said anything. Recently, everything came spilling out when I saw his Snapchat story and he was very, very openly hitting on another female. I became incredibly jealous and basically spilled my feelings. He ended up admitting he felt the same way, but not as deep. Just not as deep. He doesn't want any commitment though, so I decided that we can be cool at work, but we weren't fucking anymore because I need to distance myself to protect myself. He still tried to hit me up to fuck, but after denying him a few times, he's turned kind of bitter. I saw him out at a bar and he ignored me, and later he claimed he didn't know it was me, but it's kind of hard to mistake me for anyone else with the way my hair is colored and my tattoos, so I called bullshit, and after that, we haven't spoken since. He hasn't reached out to even say hi, and at work, he doesn't even glance in my direction. I feel slightly maybe he lied about having feelings to try and keep a consistent fuck, and also I feel like he turned out to be a giant fuckboy, but I'm conflicted because there are times he would say or do things and all I could think was, you don't do shit like that unless you have feelings, and a year is a long ass time to fuck someone and just not give a shit. I guess I just want to know your opinions, and also would it be worth reaching out to him to ask what the fuck is up, like what's good, why are you acting different? Oh, can I speak on this please?
Yeah. Find a
whoo. Okay. So I started laughing when I was reading this because I'm just like, I literally was in this situation. Mm-hmm. Work, fucking somebody. And all the, man, you wouldn't be saying this if, okay. Bottom line is.
They will say it. And
bottom
they will
line,
not
people
give a
will
fuck.
Say anything
and
to keep
consistent
pussy.
And they will fuck with you for
pussy.
A year and they will not give a fuck about you.
It sounds fucked up. And
years.
Don't get me, I was about to say.
Years. Decades,
it
bitch.
Sounds fucked up. And don't get me wrong. Like, obviously some of those moments could have been real. Some of those moments where he was like, you know what, let me open up a little bit. And you want to believe so hard that this person is not a bad person. So you're like, no, you know, they could have honestly opened up to you. But you know how hard it is for niggas to get pussy sometimes. Like, if you're always, no, honestly.
Oh, we had that conversation exactly. A couple of days ago about a mutual friend.
It's, we did. It's really fucking hard for niggas. Actually, that's perfect. It's really hard for niggas to find pussy.
Yeah, and they will just.
They will stay with.
Whatever
comes with that consistent
pussy. That they're getting. Not saying that you're just decent pussy or whatever. But I mean, that's like a testament to the way people date, and specifically the way men date. People just don't give a fuck about people enough.
Yeah.
Like, you deserve more and you deserve better, but he's not going to give it to you because he doesn't have to.
And then even on top of that, think of that about it even from the spectrum or the perspective of being in a relationship. Sometimes people stay in a relationship because they're afraid to be alone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people stay in situations because they just don't want to know what's out there. And obviously he's just keeping you on the side and like making sure that he also explores his other options as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a situation where someone's like, but I have feelings for you, sometimes just like, yeah, I totally feel that way too, just because you're panicking, you don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have really just said that he might have had some feelings with you, but the fact that he's even saying he doesn't want a commitment,
mm-hmm.
and he is saying that he doesn't feel as deep.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to learn to take people at face value. I feel like a lot of times, especially when you're emotionally involved with somebody, when you've been in shared a bed, you've just been intimate,
mm-hmm.
you want to fill in the blanks with things that were never said.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of what's happening.
Yeah.
And also,
don't take it personal, son.
Don't take
it's
it personal.
Nothing against you.
Because
sometimes you think like, why wouldn't this nigga want to fuck with me? I'm awesome.
I'm great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, exactly. But also don't reach out to him. I mean, I know I'm not even trying to make it like a power thing, but sometimes it has to be like, he basically.
Take your control back.
Take your control back. To hit him up is to now be not fiending, but like, now it's just like, look, now she want me back. Now she want
to
hit me up.
And I didn't even have to do anything.
Yeah,
and
I didn't
now
have to do
I get
anything.
The pussy back.
Exactly. Like, all I did was be quiet. And she's already like, so, are you still thinking about me? Don't do it. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Just move on.
Make these niggas work.
Yeah.
Work.
Oh, I was doing ASAP Ferg, but I'm not
okay. Work.
How's that not a mashup yet?
It probably is on YouTube. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, this is why they say don't shit where you eat.
Mm.
Classic example, but shitting where you eat is so much fun sometimes. Butter. I do know from personal experience, like, I've stopped, like, trusting people. Like, I trust niggas, but also I know that people are capable of way more than you possibly could mm-hmm. imagine. I definitely dated a nigga. Well, we weren't dating. We were, like, fucking for 2 years. But I thought, like, he did the same thing, like, opened up to me and, like, here's my life and here's a poem and here's some dedication. He lived in Germany. I went to Germany, went over there to see my pops. He drove 2 hours out of his way to see me. And I'm thinking, this nigga loves me.
Niggas fly out for pussy.
Fast. Yeah. Lo and behold, my son's been married to his high school sweetheart for 4 fucking years and she lived in Germany, too.
What?
His car. And she was like, why the fuck were you all the way on that side of Germany? Oh, the Air Force shit. Nah, that nigga was a liar and I didn't know till somebody told me. Isn't he married to... Oh, that's 2 fucking years. You feel me? And I couldn't... It still didn't make any sense to me till I finally saw the pictures. Now, granted, not that deep in this situation, but it goes to show that people are capable as much as they have the power to do. So... He might open up like, yeah, he likes you. But it's like, also, it's like talking to a friend.
Yep.
Like, people are also kind of open with their friends. Don't mean that they love them. Mm-hmm. It means that it's like, yo, you're a cool person. You also giving up buns. See, somebody needs some kind of leverage. Like, if you're going to open up to me, I'm going to open up to you. And it makes the buns that much better. I've known from, especially being in Germany, hearing all these men talk. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I told myself I'm never getting married to a man. I have to listen to them niggas for 2 weeks.
Damn,
niggas ain't shit. They have plans, bro. They develop entire fucking rule books on how to get into women's pants.
Yep.
And this is definitely not all niggas, but there's a very big percentage of ain't shit niggas
all
there.
Niggas. All right,
cool. I got some nigga listeners, but they, even the niggas in my DMs are listeners. Y'all still ain't shit.
Y'all are
don't
still
make
trash.
You low.
I can't niggas, and you know I that can for say, a fact. You know, it's people in general, because I've done made some tricks and some plans to get a nigga and got him.
Exactly. It's weird because
we just ain't no
we
good.
Are all awful.
Yeah, I mean,
food
it's
seems
just...
to be a driving force for women, though.
Food. Oh, I've never done
it's
that.
It's like, oh,
I think
know...
that's a Rodeca thing.
No.
That's
not me.
That's definitely
no.
a thing.
I've actually like never either, done though. That. I had, well, we're not friends anymore, so it doesn't matter. My cousin.
Yeah.
I hate her. Anyway, but
she broke
my heart.
Damn.
But... I watched her finesse, like, the most amazing things that I was just like, women can be fucking foul. Because pussy is power. So it's just like, even the idea of getting pussy, like, she's had, like, a dude drop everything from the Bronx and, like, pick us up in the city because we were just drunk and we couldn't get home. And he picked us up from the city.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before.
Yeah, you know.
It's
so
fun.
It's
yo, you. How about this? A, you should try it. How about you? Not on this nigga, or
try
maybe
it.
On this nigga. Try
do
taking some power back and
this
flip
this.
Yeah,
don't
get
it
flip
this.
Person.
Actually, do
nigga.
It on this nigga.
Yeah.
Like
he deserves
even,
it.
Yeah,
clearly.
That's the justification.
That my son
he
cut you
it.
Off, bro. Like for what? Because you're not giving up no more buns.
Yeah.
Now I can be cordial with you.
I can't even see you in public.
Facts.
Fuck you.
Because I'm the
dick.
Type of nigga to be like, nah, I fucked that nigga. And he was just mad because I didn't want to fuck him no more.
Yeah.
That's why we're not talking. I'm that person. But you know, you might not want to do that in the workplace, but if now that you know what time it is, you know you don't want to be with this nigga.
Mm-hmm.
See how much you can get from this nigga.
Yes.
Let's see. Don't even throw no pussy at him. Just give him the thought of it. Give him the idea that he might get
he
some
trying
ass.
Trying to come over tonight.
Like yeah, and then you just eat some tacos
yeah.
on the couch, sloppy as fucking pajamas.
Nigga, I'm tired. You gotta go.
Yeah, you know you got. Did you drive here? I hope so, cause I ain't got
I
no Uber
got
money.
You know,
the
there's
morning.
A new app called Juno. It's a little bit cheaper than Lyft and Uber.
Uber.
But you gotta go.
You want water? That's all I got. I'm drinking the Belvedere.
Juices for my boyfriends.
and niggas who don't cut me off because I'm not giving them no pussy. But you can eat this pussy, though.
That's
like,
it.
Just
have him come over and just eat your pussy and be like, oh, I'm tired.
Dead ass. Don't even say I'm tired. Be like, thank you. You don't got to make up excuses.
You don't. You don't have to make up excuses.
Close your legs. Close the doors.
Can we?
Hashtag 2018. Next story. I mean, whatever, letter.
Okay, this one is loud. The Blurreds episode. Okay. Hi, Sam, Rebecca, Rob, and Akua. Hi.
Hey.
Love y'all and love the show. I just wanted to say thank you for the Blurreds episode.
You're welcome.
It was both highly enjoyable and infuriating. Mm-hmm. Janicia is amazing. Thank you for having her on, and please have her back. Mm-hmm. I don't know where y'all got Lloyd from. Okay, that was a typo. Got Lloyd from. Sorry if he's a trash friend, but he is trash. Oh, sorry, he's a friend, but he's trash. He is a friend to me, and he is trash.
He a trash friend?
men like him are such a problem across many issues. It was so frustrating to listen to him bullshit and try to avoid the tongue lashing he deserved from Janicia, LOL. I feel like the topic was taken over by his issues. Between understanding what he was trying to say and then correcting him, I would have loved to hear more about Black cosplay, Blurred, dating, and sex. Mm-hmm. Would love to hear another Blurred episode with woke Black men for better convos on other Blurred topics outside of childhood trauma and misogyny, because we all have those traumas. It is tired, and I want to hear from some grown-ass Blurreds. But anyway, thank you again.
The fact that you're holding your head.
I feel like I have to talk about this because
that's yo, man.
I was going to say, I never thought I was going to get the opportunity to speak on this again. Okay, I have known Lloyd since high school, and I talked to him about oh my God.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to chip. Go ahead. I too have known Lloyd since high school. I met him a couple of times in that basement.
I've known him since, in the basement. And it was a conversation where I said, you know what, you're a nerd. I know you. You're the nerdiest nerd I know. You play Magic. I want you to go on the show and talk about, and I wanted to talk about, you know, getting bitches. Like, nerds can get bitches too, you know, because he's one of the few people that I know who just like owns it and
owns
being nerdy to women to a certain extent, and they're just like into it because he's nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, look, a unique male perspective. And then he comes on the show, it kind of got in his own political stance where he was like, I'm representing an entire community, and he kind of just shitted on all of us. And even on the show, I was looking at him and he was like, I never have to think about these Black women issues. And I just like, I remember
me,
my
your
face
friend,
and I was
black
like,
woman. What?
I feel like I'm a Black woman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you know,
correct me if I'm wrong here. But,
so I wanted to apologize, first of all, because I didn't want to be triggering to anyone. I feel like a lot of people were upset. Mm-hmm. And I understand that because it was... We're bringing someone into our space and giving him giving him time and attention that honestly, I feel like at the end of the interview, he didn't really deserve because he was just looking out for numero uno. Yeah. And he is my friend. We are still friends. Mm-hmm. I know that people
sometimes
were probably
you're
like,
friends with
yeah,
problematic people.
Yeah. You know, and I'm never going to bring him on the podcast again. He's never coming back. But the intention.
Remember that guy who was trying to get him back on?
Yeah,
though?
Yeah, yeah.
What's
he was
his name,
like,
Leroy?
Yeah, that was like his best friend, by the way. But he was like, oh, give Lloyd another chance.
LOL. No, but he can start his own podcast.
Yeah, he has been thinking about doing that. And that's interesting. But just to speak on just whose friend was that? That was my friend.
Yeah.
That is the friend that I smoke the most weed with. And we chill and do stuff like that. But obviously, he is not the person to fight my fight, because as we quote him, it's not his battle.
Not
so
my battle.
It's not my business, you know.
I do understand exactly where this person is coming from. Mm-hmm. Because yes, the misogyny talk and childhood trauma talk, it's like, it is tiring.
Yeah.
After a while, it's like that, okay, I get it. Me too.
You're sad, bro.
Yeah, me too. But what kind of games did you play, my nigga? And how many friends you got? Like, now, how many friends you got that are just as corny as you? Not that being a nerd's corny, mm-hmm. but it's, mm-hmm. I mean, clearly Lloyd's corny, but whatever. We're not gonna bring Lloyd further down. So I do understand, and I do empathize, because
have a Blurred spurt too.
Because I didn't, because even I was, where was I? Oh, this one, I was in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I also did not know what Blurred meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize, like, I've never called somebody a nerd for, like, cosplay and anime and stuff. Like, I didn't know that that's what people, like, people refer to those kind of people as nerds as well.
Yeah.
I thought I was a nerd because I'm a fucking...
There's many definitions.
Yes. Yeah. So that was one of the ones that I never knew. Mm-hmm. So listen to the episode. I got that part out of it, but then I never got, like, anything else out of it.
Yeah.
It was just more like, cringe.
Yeah. Which is very interesting because... A lot of people didn't like the episode, but then a lot of people loved the episode. And it's like, what the fuck do you motherfuckers want? Like, what do you want from us? No, I'm just kidding.
I think people loved the episode because he was being called out.
They like the drama. Yeah. It was dramatic.
This it was tense. Very dramatic. It was definitely
I felt
tense.
Like niggas were about to just pull out swords and you just hear,
we're going to cosplay for real this time. I'm going to LARP.
He does LARPing too.
He does?
Yeah.
Aww.
We never got, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. It would have been cool, like,
to just actually talk about, fuck, like, yeah.
I think there's going to be some episodes where you try
LARPing.
Again.
Yeah.
There were so many questions.
There was a lot of questions.
I really wanted
RuneScape sex. How does that play out? Remember when people used to have RuneScape sex? Is that just me? I wasn't having RuneScape. Whatever. Anyway.
You were. It's okay.
No, I wasn't.
Well, if there's ever, like, a moment where you guys, as the listeners, feel like there was a topic that we couldn't quite get to because of our problematic ass guests, because we're clearly going to continue, like, not like it's going to be like every other guest is problematic, it's going to happen. Like, it has to happen.
Probability,
like,
wise,
there is no,
y'all,
there
y'all
is no,
ain't woke out here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no show on earth, like, no successful show where every guest was perfect. There was always one problematic guest, at least a season. So if there was something that you're like, damn, you didn't get to the point, I really wanted to hear it. It's like, this, like, stuff like this, it's perfect because now we know niggas actually do want a real blurred episode where we actually talk about blurs. I don't know if you want to do another episode about sex comedy. Probably not. Nope. Don't want to delve back into that one, but I think we need to close that door.
Akua, you about to say something?
Nigga.
Oh, wait, what?
Nigga?
I thought you were. What? You, like, open your mouth.
Yeah.
I completely lost it listening to Rob, so no.
Oh, okay. All right. Damn, all right. I don't know if I should feel bad or not.
Okay. Yeah, so you're not going to hear Rodeca's voice anymore because she had to go to work, but we're going to continue the episode anyway. Next story.
All right. Hi. This is an exclamation point. Hi, Sam and co-hosts. I hope y'all are well. I just wanted to email and say that I'm loving the show. I love the frank discussions about sex, sexuality, and other sex-related aspects of life and society. I actually got invited to a gangbang today as I'm listening to the podcast. The gangbang is unprotected. Yep. Professional way of me saying raw sex.
Thank you for clearing that up for us.
The outrageous thing is I want to do it. I want to try the experience as I find it exciting. The thing is, I started back on prep yesterday, so it's not enough time for it to build up in my system to be effective. I also know that prep isn't 100% protection, especially when not taking every day and for other STDs and STIs. I won't be accepting the invitation to that gangbang today because I want to be as responsible as possible with my sexual health, but once I've built up the prep in my body, I will do it.
Yes.
I wanted to share that since listening to the swingers on this episode and the guy and woman from the orgy episode talk about how exciting it is to be so sexually free, it's got me excited about doing things like this that I've never done before and have been wary to do in my 20s. Not excited enough to be absolutely reckless to have sex without taking as many precautions as I can in this particular situation, like having prep fully established in my system and getting to know my sexual partners before engaging in this sexual encounter. To be clear, I am a Black gay male in my early 30s, and I understand the risk of indulging in such risky activity, especially for the demographic I am in. But I do want to have this experience, and I am aware of ways I can take care of myself in this gangbang situation. I honestly want to email just to share my love of the show and how it's helped me in my own way become more open-minded, educated, informed on sex, sexuality, gender, and so many other aspects related to those topics and beyond. As well as share this gangbang invitation. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much. Since it coincided with listening to this particular episode, which I must say, got me, like Sierra said, super turned up.
I don't remember her saying that.
Me either, but I guess we must have missed it. I wanted to dash out the house and jump in that gangbang, but nah. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I can guess what party Darren from the orgy episode went to. Okay. I'm sure that's the one I've been to.
That's fun.
Besides that, I'm wishing you all the best, and I'm definitely going to be catching up and tuning in. Sincerely, S.
Cool.
Damn, that was Yo, shout out to you for like using prep though.
Yeah.
That's actually very smart, especially in the demographic you're in, and like letting it build up in your body. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, he didn't just take one pill and was like, I'm ready.
I'm ready. Let's fucking go.
Like when you first start birth control and you're like, nut in me, daddy. Nut in
and
me.
And then you're like, damn, that's crazy. I'm pregnant. Wow, how did that happen? I thought I was on birth control.
I thought I was on birth control. Shit don't work.
That's funny.
That's funny.
I mean, honestly, like, I won't front, like, unprotected gangbangs for me personally, because it's like, prep is like HIV AIDS, but there's so much other shit out there, and I think I'd be
fucking around and get all the HPV.
Facts. That'd I'd be too scared. Yeah. I'd be too scared, and I mean that, but that's just, I mean that's me. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yo, more fucking power to you.
Yeah,
because gangbangs seem pretty fucking awesome. Yeah, even though I probably highly doubt I'll ever have the balls to take part in one.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's just me by myself and a whole bunch of niggas. It's a group of... Let me know. Actually,
if
hit me.
You're interested.
I'm still single, actually, so I have the time. I have time now. Maybe not in a month, because you know me.
That's funny. Now, I would definitely participate in a gangbang. I would just have to feel comfortable with all the men in it.
Yeah.
And men make me uncomfortable sometimes, true. So rightfully so.
You want, like... We could, like, do this together.
Me and Rob are casting for a gangbang.
Yes.
If you are interested in joining our gangbang, please hit the inbox at ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Also including a HIV AIDS screening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just all STI get tested.
Just get tested, you know?
And send us the whole printout. Yeah. You can leave out your name and shit, but I need the whole
printout.
Let us
know what's going on. Make sure everything's good down there.
I hope that that gangbang was enjoyable. I hope that he did finally go.
Yeah, it's happened at this point, right?
So yeah, because he missed the first one, but he went to the other one. Yeah. So I hope that... And now, in the gangbang, so is he the one getting gangbanged?
I think it depends on what type of...
Is it rotation?
Yeah, like one, like 90 niggas on one nigga. Is it, I think it's 10 niggas on one nigga 9 times?
Like, so in that Darren episode, it seemed like it was just like the population. Well, I don't know. Is that the thing that he's saying that he went to? The orgy?
He said that he also did that.
Oh, okay. The orgy is not the same. Oh, then I have no idea. I don't know the breakdown of how a gangbang works out. I guess I would assume it has to be everybody's banging you, right?
That's yeah, but it's like, bang. Oh, I didn't know if I didn't know if he was the person banging or getting banged.
I think to curious. Be invited, he probably is just one of the people doing the banging. Mm-hmm. Because if he was essential, then it'd be like, nigga, you gotta come, otherwise who are we banging?
Oh,
here,
true. You know? You can't not do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't like change your mind. Yeah. Like,
I mean, you always can, but like if you're coming,
I feel like
you cancel the whole
thing. Yeah, exactly.
We don't have another nigga to gang bang.
Exactly. Yes.
I feel like it might be my ideal would be like a rotation.
We're all getting bang bang. That'd be fun.
A rotation.
I'm fucking you fucking them. We're all just getting in
that's
there.
That's a long experience. Imagine if there's like 20 niggas.
Damn, that's a lot.
We gotta fuck this nigga, then we gotta fuck this nigga.
I think, okay,
5
o'clock
in the morning, we fucking this nigga.
So for me and Sam's gangbang, we're gonna do a maximum of 5 niggas.
Yeah, that's
fine. I don't want 20 penises. I don't think my vagina can handle that.
Oh, God.
Like balance-wise, like, pH balance-wise.
You ever
balance
done a
2-a-day?
And that's like, damn, son. But I gotta pretend like, oh, yeah, daddy, this don't feel bad at all. But like, I fucked somebody 4 hours ago.
At least doing a 2-a-day with condoms,
it wasn't
bad.
Oh, okay.
Because that was like, my body was like, nah, we can do this. Not
work
that I've ever done
here,
a 2-a-day
sis.
Without condoms. I don't think I've only
me
done
neither.
A 2-a-day once. And no, actually, my vagina was fine. But it was two
I'm
whack
happy
niggas.
For you. Damn. That was
one nigga fucking for a tour and one nigga fucking for his own personal nut. So it was always... It was a total of one half sexual session.
That's
an average session.
That's fucking
20
sad.
Minutes of fucking.
You deserve much better.
So that's why we got to do this gangbang.
Yes.
Okay. Casting.
Yes. ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Make sure you clean. Make sure you floss and smell it.
Please. The running gag, because this is like four
this
weeks
is
after that has happened at this point that this is being.
Look how long the pan shit, look how long the stitcher shit lasted. Like, this is real life things.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Okay, number 5. I'll read this one. I haven't read one yet. My beloved hoes, says the subject line. Hey guys, found you guys on Spotify a while ago. Wanted to catch up on the tea before I wrote in. I'm a 21-year-old Latina feminist, and I wanted to write in to so many of my favorite episodes sometimes, and thank you so much for the laughs and for sharing all the juicy details. No problem. Today I'm writing to you guys to vent a little. I've been dating my current boyfriend for 10 months, and this is the first actual serious relationship I've ever had. From the beginning, I've had communication issues because of my parents, in parentheses, daddy issues. I've never really been good with confrontation or stating what I want or need with basically any man, quote unquote, in power. At my previous job, when I tried to quit or talk about getting a raise, my voice would get shaky and my eyes watery. I've always tried to keep myself together by taking deep breaths and trying not to ramble. Over time, I think I've gotten better at being assertive and less doubtful thanks to feminism and finding strength within myself. So happy for you.
Word.
Throughout this time, at the beginning of our relationship, it was hard for me to talk to him. I didn't want to share my emotions. I always wanted to be the kind of person that was tough, but whenever I talked about my father, I would cry immediately. Whenever we talked about our problems, I wouldn't be able to hold my tears. He always encouraged me to talk to him about us and what was wrong. At the beginning, he would hold me when I cried because I would try to stop talking because I hated crying. It made me feel weak. Whenever we fought, it wouldn't be for very long at all. At times, he drove to my house at almost midnight because he wanted to make up. Now I've gotten better. We've had talks that are so calm and understanding, with me crying less and less. I had been feeling more confident talking with him and having him listen to things from my point of view. I brought up my views with our sex life and how we were falling into boring sex, him being affectionate, gender roles, feeling him being distant, helping him be more open-minded, and my views as a feminist and advice towards him and his parents' relationship, which resulted in more comprehension and better sex. But last night, aka 7 months ago, we had a fight. Sorry, girl. We be trying. I had been feeling ignored by him throughout the whole day. I got feverish and went to his room to sleep, leaving him with his boys playing video games. When he came in to check on me, I wasn't in the best mood, and he brought up how I had been, quote unquote, acting weird all day. I told him that wasn't the best time to talk, and he got defensive and said, "Then when? And how am I supposed to know what's wrong? And why are you always acting like this?" So finally, I answered and told him I had been feeling neglected and brushed off by him, told him that still all I needed was affection, and his responses were so insensitive, like, "So you're mad because I didn't hold your hand today," demeaning my needs. Therefore, I went into further examples of how we're not in sync with each other. At some point, he turned on the TV and we stopped talking, thinking it'll magically go away. After a while, we got into it again and he ended up screaming at me. That just brought me back to my parents fighting and my confrontational issues. I grabbed my stuff, told him I would not let him talk to me like that, and called an Uber home, to which he just questioned me leaving the discussion and quote unquote us like that. I don't really have anyone to talk to anymore at the moment. I lost touch with my best friend, and I don't feel like it's the best time to talk to my mom about this. Oh, I'm sorry for taking so long to respond to this. I feel like I made the right choice by not accepting being yelled at and wanting him to treat me like a special fucking girlfriend. I know I have a right to ask for the affection I need. I'm sorry this is so long. Don't hate me. No, we don't hate you. I love and appreciate you guys for bringing topics we all want to know a little more about. Hope you guys take care, get some dick with no drama. Thank you. And your mental health is good and at peace. Thank you for writing in, first of all.
Damn.
Secondly, there's a lot here.
Thank you for writing in. I'm glad that you feel so safe to vent with us. Sorry in the delay. I don't know how this went with the relationship. Let us know, you know, write us back and we'll read that as well and respond to you that time. Hopefully you guys are able to compromise and find a better ground or a better understanding of, you know, both of your love languages and both of your needs in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And if not, and you guys parted ways, I'm glad that you know what you do need and you advocated for that. Mm-hmm. Despite, you know, your prior issues with confrontation and things.
Yeah, I think you handle it well, considering that you have issues with this.
You do have, like, the right to ask for affection.
Totally.
I mean, it's like, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how hard it is to do so, because you're like, damn, am I being needy? Like, mm-hmm. is this
or
okay?
Or he should just want to, but sometimes it's like, that's not actually their love language.
Yes. Some people just, they do different things. Like, he wasn't, he was way more affectionate than me. I used to like kick him out of my house and I wouldn't hug him or shit like that. And he liked to cuddle and shit. And I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't like it. I just wasn't with the shits, but I didn't love him.
Yeah.
You know, I acted differently. But when we were in a serious relationship, I compromised because
yeah.
I didn't want him to feel neglected and I didn't want him to neglect me in the ways that I needed. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a compromise. But best believe, nigga talk to me crazy, I'm out.
Yeah.
And if you felt that he was disrespecting you in a way that was just completely uncalled for and that you felt like he couldn't come back from with a simple apology, it's like, no, you absolutely did the right thing by leaving.
Yeah.
Nobody deserves to be in a space where they're feeling attacked.
Not at all. If you have
the means to fucking leave, then you should definitely leave, because then a lot of the times it only gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, fuck that shit. Fucks with you heavy.
Same.
Hard body.
Same.
I mean, yeah, daddy issues and like family issues, I understand, because I cried every time me and T argued, every single time. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, bruh, like it was hard because that kind of confrontation for me brought up so many past issues. But it definitely will take somebody who is understanding enough to not think that that is like a mechanism of control, like, oh look, they're crying, oh now I have to go take care of them, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
It's like, if that's how you are, somebody's gonna one day, somebody, nigga, come on, you gotta think that toilet, the nigga who didn't wash their ass,
he got married,
he was married, both of them, the nigga who sat on the rim was married
for his whole life, come he was sitting on the rim
Trump
of the toilet
has been
bowl.
Married like three times.
Yeah, he's currently married.
Boy, there is a person for everybody.
Yeah.
So
sometimes there's multiple people for it.
Facts. Yeah. There's a squadron of niggas who either want you together or separately.
Yes.
But it exists. So you never, like, nobody, none of y'all hoes ever gotta settle for niggas who are not perfect.
Not at all.
I mean nobody's perfect, but there's, it gets
perfect
very close
for you, or very, yes, good for you, or is at least willing to try and learn.
Yes. Somebody who just makes you feel comfortable in all aspects of the word.
Yeah. Facts. That shall we move on?
Yes.
Hey Sam and Rob, I just want to say I really got so much out of the Twin Flame episode. I started listening to your podcast a few months ago when I was starting to get into polyamory.
Cool.
Also, I recently moved to Vancouver, Canada, about a month ago. And my husband got offered a promotion out here.
Why'd you cut out the part where she's like, West Coast?
I didn't know how to read that out loud.
You love the part.
I just could not read that out loud. I'm sorry. But I'm from New York, so listening to you guys gives me a little piece of home that I'm missing. Yay. I had to write to you now because this episode just helped me make sense of a kind of unusual, confusing relationship I had. I am married and have been with my husband for over 6 years. But last year, I met someone at work who I had an instant connection with. We became friends, and it was just creepy how similar we were. We liked the same random obscure bands. He was very creative and helped bring out my more dark/creative side. And I got more confident and learned how to put myself out there more. I sort of hated him at the same time because he didn't always make me feel like I was important to him. He would go out and hang out with other people or other girls. He was really into doing drugs with no intention of stopping, but I was just drawn to him. My other friends didn't understand why I liked him, and they had a bigger problem with his drug habits. He had this charisma and this way about him, and he was just so familiar with me that it felt right and normal. I felt like he appreciated and related to a lot of parts of me that people didn't understand or notice. I have dealt with depression at various points in my life, and my husband is such a calm, stable, positive, relational person that he doesn't fully get what I have gone through. I talked to my husband about it, and we kind of were able to figure out this polyamorous situation that sort of worked for several months. My husband wasn't seeing anyone else, but I was very close to and would hang out a lot with this guy friend. The sex was crazy. We would do weird stuff, and it was so fucking hot, and it came so naturally.
Mm.
I could almost see myself with him, but then other times the relationship was just too fucking much. I broke things off before I moved because I felt like trying to keep our friendship/whatever it was over a long distance would have been too much for me. I would like to be friends, but I just don't know how that would have worked.
I'm not sure if my husband and I will continue the polyamory thing, but I appreciate him being so open-minded and supportive and loving me through it all. But I've been kind of trying to move on, trying not to stalk the ex-guy on social media, and in general, trying to integrate this experience and learn from it and move forward. This episode just hit the nail on the head for me, and I had to write. Thanks, and I'm much love to you all.
Sounds like a twin flame.
Sang on it.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. It's crazy how these people really exist for us.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's kind of like, it's crazy and I don't like it. But it happens.
I mean, that's life, right?
Because it's crazy and I don't like it. I haven't heard since that episode and post and prior, I still haven't heard a successful twin flame relationship. They always end in flames.
Yeah. I guess that's the point. You can't date yourself.
This is true. But, you know, you're not crazy because it sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
Very familiar.
Yeah. Time to move on, though. I mean, I feel like they're probably going to get back a couple of times until she's, like, really done with it.
Well, there is this long distance that I feel like helps.
Yeah, because how could you get back with it unless my son is flying to fucking Canada?
Oh, so he's in New York?
Yes.
Oh, okay, and she's in Canada.
Yeah,
Canada.
Oh, okay. Fairly deep, so probably by now, because this was old. That's fine. It's probably a dub, and it's probably better that way, because being with somebody and also fucking with somebody who's potentially your twin flame is just not good.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers drive you crazy.
Exactly.
So I recently reconnected with my twin flame, and I'm like,
then
I cried forever. I don't know if I could do that shit twice. Yo, I can't do that shit twice. This shit's too, it's like something that is further than emotional. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that literally doesn't even, there aren't enough words in the English language to describe that.
Damn.
But it's intense, and it's not also like, it's really not like a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, not that it's a bad thing, it's quite an experience, but it's just an experience.
Yeah.
I don't think that shit would ever be worth pursuing.
Experience that you don't always need to be having.
Facts.
Because you're just gonna wear you out.
Facts. I think it's important to have it at least once, to meet your twin flame and interact with that person, and just to know how intense feelings could possibly get. Because I think that we don't even understand the potential of our emotions. And after fucking with somebody that makes you feel that crazy, you're like, damn, I'm capable of fucking murder. I could kill this nigga.
Oh no.
Just kidding. Don't kill anybody.
Don't want that.
Domestic violence is always bad. But I hope you're polyamorous-ish relationship is working out, if it still exists, because that could be fun.
Yeah, husband seems like a cool dude.
Mm-hmm. But don't be in a polyamorous relationship with your twin flame.
No,
that's bad juju.
Yeah,
then it becomes a flaming polyamorous relationship. And we're saying ish because that's what it said.
Yeah,
we're not mispronouncing it. I promise. I don't have a list that bad today.
Polyamorous.
Like, yo, what's up with Rob's tongue rings? They're just falling out of her mouth. Like,
ew. Cool, you got anything to add to that?
No.
Me neither, son. My throat hurts.
Oh, you been sucking dick?
Fuck you, nigga.
Saying.
Like, I'm a bit under the weather.
He's like, my stomach hurts. Oh, you pregnant? All right, your throat hurts. You've clearly been sucking dick. Let's just.
Oh, you've been sucking dick. This is sixth grade.
That was an ugly face you made.
So. You're an ugly face I made.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following us at In A Whole Uprising without the G on Twitter, In A Whole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, that is with the G. And don't forget to pay a hoe, inawholeuprising.com. Or you can just check out our merchandise. We have hats. We have shirts.
You don't have hats yet.
We have shirts. We have hoodies. And you could also hit up my DMs. Slide to my DMs. Buy some art.
Yeah. Because
most of those proceeds will probably just end up going to the show anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I am still so funny. I can't do this. African American dot booty scratcher. And my Instagram is vanta.black with the Q. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Rob_the_God. And I'm starting to be more active on there.
Yay.
So thanks. I'm a retweet queen nerd.
Yay.
You guys can follow me at Hey A Cool Girl. That's HEYYAKUAGIRL on Snapchat and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. You can follow Verdeca, who had to leave us early, on Instagram and Twitter at Rebby or Not, and on Tumblr at No Need to Make Me Believe, and on Snap at Keep Your Heart. You can follow me, Sam, on Instagram and Twitter at Slamrid with 2 D's, and on Snap at Smanners, all of which will be in the description for this episode. Have a great Thanksgiving. Stay safe, warm, with people. Don't let the seasonal affective disorder get you down, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.